And I want you to grab your Bibles. Man, we have been on an incredible journey. How many have been with me on the Psalms of Ascent? How many have been here for every one of them? Okay, this Psalms of Ascent has just been growing me in ways I'd never dreamed. I just never dreamed. I hope it's doing the same for you. But the Psalms of Ascent, we're in Psalm 124. This is the fifth of what is called the Psalms of Ascent. For those of you that are new, let me explain it to you very quickly. Every year, there were three pilgrimages that the people of God would take, and they would go to the temple or Jerusalem, which they called Zion, which was a physical place, but is a spiritual reality for you and me. How many know we're headed toward heaven? That's our Zion, heaven, eternity, right? We're going there. But it started at the lowest place on the planet Earth, which was Jericho, which was 1,500 miles below sea level, and they would ascend to 1,500 feet below sea level, and 2,400 feet above sea level by the time they got to Jerusalem. So it was a long journey going up there, okay? But they would take this, and they would sing these songs. They were songs. They were worship. They would praise. They would talk about what God would do and what he had done. How many know as we're going toward heaven, these things apply to our lives right here today? And today you're going to be so glad. You're going to be so glad you came to church. So glad you came to church today. Psalm 124, verse 1. Let's begin. You ready? Here we go. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. That's your spiritual Israel. Do you know that when you became a follower of Jesus? Your spiritual Israel. If the Lord had not been our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And here's what he said. If the Lord had not been on our side, if spiritual Israel, you, the believers, if the Lord would have not been on your side, it'd have been over. Let me tell you what the game changer is for me. You, listen, enemies can come against me. Satan can attack every part of my life. But here's the game changer. God is on my side. He's on my side. Satan, he hates you, and he loves me. The Lord is on my side. Now, some of you in this room, you got cancer in your body, but you look the devil right in the face and you tell him, let me tell you one thing. The Lord is on my side. There's some of you going through addictions right now. You love Jesus, but you're going through addictions, and this addiction has just got you, and you feel so guilty, so condemned, you don't even think you ought to be in here. You look that addiction in the face. I don't care if it's crack. I don't care if it's porn. I don't care what it is. And you look at it and say, let me tell you the game changer, Satan. The Lord is on my side. You might have a family that is so dysfunctional, but I want you to, he says, let Israel say this. So before we sit down, we're going to say this. We're going to say this. Ready? The Lord is on my side. Now, I want you to say it like you just drank 10 Red Bulls. That was good. That was good if we just started this thing. But I want you to say it like you got 10 Red Bulls in you and you just got injected with some spiritual steroids. Now, come on, bow your neck. I don't care what you're going. I'm telling you, this is going to be a in-his-face confession because he is deathly afraid of you right now because you're going to figure something out. That song wasn't just a song. This is not just a song. This is a word to your enemy. Come on, now say it and scare him. Say it. The Lord is on my side. Now give God some praise in this house, everybody. Woo! He's on my side. He's on your side, sir. Don't you forget it. High five your neighbor and say, you don't want to mess with me today. Just tell him, you don't want to mess. You don't want to mess with me. Okay, now remember, these folks are physically going up this, okay? They're physically going up this thing, okay? And this gets arduous, all right, everybody? It's a climb. It's a climb. But in this climb, what you need to understand, and it's a picture of the walk of the Jesus follower, okay? It is the walk of those who are following Jesus. Now, listen closely to this. When they get in this climb from Jericho to Jerusalem is a dangerous, dangerous climb. Here's how we know that for a fact. How many remember the parable in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus was telling him the parable, and he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan? How many remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, okay? And you remember the guy was, and he got beaten and he got robbed and all that stuff. How many remember that, okay? Well, Jesus told that story, and the people immediately connected with the parable because they knew that that road was full of marauders that were just looking for people who they could rob, who they could strip, and leave them for dead. Remember this, and it's interesting that when Jesus tells the parable, he says, the road going from Jericho, the lowest place, that is going to Jerusalem. So this also tells me something, that three times a year, those marauders, those thieves would know exactly when the people of God, because there were three feasts, so they would be prepared, be ready to probably strip someone, take their money. They know they're going to the temple, they're going to worship with their offerings, they're going to go up. So what better time to attack the people of God than when they're on the climb, headed toward God's presence, headed toward their promise. So if you're going to make it to the top, Jesus follower, if you're going to make heaven, if you're going to be one that survives and gets to the presence of God, you've got to understand that if the Lord is not on your side, the thief, Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, would wipe you out. But how many know the Lord is on your side? Therefore, he says to you, I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. How many thank God? The Lord, come on, say it, everybody. The Lord is on my side. That's not the last time you'll be saying that today. You are here not by accident. I'm telling you, somebody, this song, we're going to sing that again, Pastor Drew, at the end. Because this is going to come alive to you. That God is on your side. Here are three things that I want you to see. I try to give you just three things so you can get them in your spirit. So I want to give you three things about the Lord being on your side. You ready for the first one? Here's the first thing. Ready? Sudden danger. When you read this, for the Jesus follower, sudden danger is always there. Look at what he says. Verse 2. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, there was an attack. All right, look at verse 3. Look at what he says. When their anger flared up, look, it flares. It flares up against us. Look at verse 4. The flood had engulfed us. What does this say? What he is saying is when you are attacked as a Jesus follower, every attack is a surprise attack. We get so shocked when it happens, but he says every attack that happens to my people on this road is a surprise attack that most of them are not prepared for. Or it's something that's out of their hands. There's no power against it. It is a surprise attack. Don't y'all just wish that when troubles come and trials come, don't you wish they could at least put it in Outlook before it happens? Come on, Jesus, how about a text? How about a Jesus spiritual text? Hey, look out, you're fixing to lose your job. I mean, why couldn't it be that? But here's what he's saying. He says these are surprises because look at the words. Look how the words he uses, flare up, flare up. How many of you have ever had some? It literally means in the Greek to blaze up, blaze up. Okay, how many of you guys, you know, when you were getting your charcoal grill all ready, you know, you didn't want lighter fluid. You wanted to get those coals going good, so you use 93 octane. You're going to be a brilliant man. You're going to be a brilliant man. And you remember when you threw that match on it? Took the oxygen out of the air. You came out no eyebrows, no eyelashes. How many understand that? Amen. Okay, seriously. Like, that's how fast it comes up. He says it comes like a flood. It's really interesting that he uses this metaphor of the flood. because they would understand that the riverbeds would dry up real quick in that kind of arid climate. And then as a result of this, here's what would happen. Many times the rainy seasons would come mixed along with the thawing snow on the mountains, and when it would come so fast they'd get engulfed. They couldn't escape. I mean, they were caught around it. It was just completely around them. It happened that fast. And it's also interesting that Jeremiah, the prophet, he alludes in Jeremiah 47, he says, when he refers to the enemy attacking Israel, he said, they came against us like a flood. In other words, we weren't prepared. It happened that quick, like a flash flood, and boom, it's all around us. That is exactly what's happening to some of you in this room. You had no idea, unexpectedly, the trial that would come up. All of a sudden, you thought your marriage was doing great, and boom, something comes out of left field with your spouse you never dreamed would have ever happened. All of a sudden, you've been walking free from this addiction for a long, long time. You've been free from it. You've been free 5-6 years now from it, and boom, all of a sudden, this temptation came. You go, where'd that come from? I mean, why can't I get this out of my mind? I've been so free from this. Why is it coming back to my mind? It just hits you just like a terror comes to you, unexpected. Terrorists don't schedule their attacks and let you know ahead of time. He's saying when this happens to you, it is always a surprise on the Jesus follower. You weren't expecting that little pain in the side would be terminal. You didn't expect that. You didn't expect the child that you dedicated to this altar would come to you and say, I'm gone into a lifestyle that I don't even believe in God anymore. You never expected that. You never expected to lose your job. You thought you were performing so well. You never expected that. And here's the deal with the child of God. We will always be surprised by the flare-ups, the sudden floods that come, boom, just like that. You had no idea, and boom, it hits you. But here's the good news. You and I may be surprised, but God is not surprised. See, I don't know why we think that all of a sudden that God reacts to everything the devil does. We think God acts like we act, okay? We get in trouble, we sit at the house getting ready before it closes on, and we're down here biting our nails to the quick going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? God is not up there going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's not up there doing that. You think that's the way he's behaving because that's the way you're behaving over your money. This is the way you're behaving over what the doctor said. This is what you're behaving because your spouse is threatening to leave you. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Listen, Satan doesn't act and then God reacts to what Satan is doing. Get that out of your mind right now. It is God who is acting, so Satan is reacting by bringing sudden surprise attacks on your marriage, your home, your money. Do you think this took God by surprise, the prognosis of the doctor? Do you think it shocked him when your child said, I don't want to follow your Jesus? I'm going to tell you, nothing took God by surprise. In fact, let me tell you, what you do need to know is that in the middle of the surprise, here's the game changer. The Lord is on my side. Now I understand why Proverbs, the writer said in Proverbs 3:25, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Why is it that when we watch the world, when the world has an attack on them, we think somehow it's going to take us down? People are saying, oh, wait, the next recession, we're all going to be affected by it. I'm sorry. I live by the law of the harvest of the Word of God. I'm choosing to follow God's Word. If there's a recession, I'm sorry. I'm not participating. I'm going to keep following God's Word. My behaviors are not going to change. I'm still going to remain the same. And he says, if it does come to you, don't you dare be afraid of this sudden disaster of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Why? For the Lord. Oh, come on, this is good. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do you know why? Because the Lord when the danger comes to you, Isaiah 43 says, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord, your personal God. Do you all understand what I'm saying today? God is not surprised and he's not shocked with what's happening right now. You may be in fear. you may be in terror, but the Lord says, on this journey, you need to understand one thing. I'm watching out for you, and I'm not just the God by your side. I am the God inside of you, and I'm going to keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In the middle of the crisis, you're going to grow. In the middle of the crisis, you're going to mature because of one thing. The Lord is on my side. So if you're going through something sudden, don't be shocked because God's not shocked. Just declare, I know who's on my side. Yes. Now let's go to another one. The second thing that the psalmist points out is the snare of the devourer. How many know there's a real enemy out there? There's a real devil out there that hates you. He really hates you. And when he wants you with a snare is a trap. It's something hidden. It's to destroy you. Okay? Now let's look at the scripture for a moment. In verse 6, the writer indicates, the psalmist, David writes something here that indicates something. And the indication is this. He is already in the jaws of the enemy. This is really important. He's not saying, you're going to be in the lion's mouth and I'm going to deliver you. No. It says he's in the lion's mouth. He's in the jaws of his enemy. He's not saying, this could have happened to you, but the Lord kept you from it. Now, how many know the Lord has kept us from a lot of things? Come on, how many remember when you were not serving Jesus Christ, you were doing crazy things, drinking crazy things, smoking crazy things, and how many know God, when the spirit of stupid was on us, and he saved our life, okay? He kept you and me from a lot of bad stuff. But listen close to this. He's not talking about keeping you from stuff. He's not saying, I'm gonna keep this from happening. He says, it is happening right now, and you are in the jaws of your enemy, Satan, right now. That's what he's saying here. It's not Satan stalking you, and he's trying to wait for you to mess up one time. No, this is not stalking. We're beyond stalking. He's not saying, he's ready to pounce on you and take you. No, we're beyond pouncing. He's not going, his mouth's open up and he's roaring and you can see him and he's got his mouth. Oh, no, we're beyond roaring. You are like a limp animal in the mouth of the beast. He says, you're in it right now and you can feel the teeth bearing down. No, you haven't escaped. You are in it. You're feeling the depression right now. You feel the animosity and the hatred in your marriage right now. You feel the sting right now of the disobedience of temptation. You're in it right now. The beast is biting down on you. Folks, I'm telling you, there are times when you get in those situations. I've been in them, you've been in them, and I'm going to tell you something. There are times it's so bad, you think the enemy has won, and this is just the way it's going to be. I'm serious. When you get to the times sometimes where you're just going, you're in the situation, and it's critical mass. And you're saying, Pastor, I can't get out of this one. There's no way out. This is what I'm talking about, that the situation is so dire. Look, there are some devastating prognoses that some people receive from their doctor just this weekend, and it's a medical report, and you are in the jaws right now. There's some of you right now in this room where the school has called you and said to you, I'm sorry, but your son, your daughter can no longer attend this school. We don't know what to do with them. Counselors can't help them, and you're struggling just to get the dysfunction your child dealt with. That's what you're dealing with. Some of you can't relate to this right now. You can't relate to this, but the person in this room that is 3 months in arrears on their house payment, the car can't be paid off, and now it needs a repair, you don't understand that, but they're in the jaws right now, and they get what I'm talking about. Most of us in this room, we're going to go to a nice apartment, we're going to go to a nice house, we may get us a burger on the way home, we're going to eat good, but you don't understand the person living under the bridge here in Grand Rapids. You don't understand them because right now they don't have a home to go, and they're just praying that there's not bad weather this weekend. So there's some of you, you're healthy, you went to the gym this week, and you don't understand that someone right now is losing their hair from chemotherapy, and they're regurgitating all the time, and they don't know if they feel like they're at the point of death. You don't know, but they're in the jaws right now. That's who I'm talking to today. I'm talking to the lady that just said, I'm done with this marriage, I'm finished, and you've got the divorce papers, you're ready to go. That's who I'm talking to. This is not you escaped. I'm talking to the person today that the boss told you in 2 weeks your job is over. We're downsizing. We got a machine to do your job, and they are pushing you off to the side. That is who I am talking to today. You can't escape it. You're in it right now. There's a little bitty blip left on the radar. And some of you, it's not something physical you're feeling. It's not about being paid. For some of you, it's right here. There is an enemy right now just gripping your mind. You're afraid you're going to go broke. You're afraid you're going to die. You're afraid you're getting a sickness. You're afraid you're getting a disease. There's some of you right now that the pain and the anger, it's just so welled up in you because of what happened as a child, and it just keeps racking your brain. There are people in here right now that are just afraid to worship God because of panic attacks. Some of you in such depths of depression, you feel like, Pastor, I just feel like ending my life. There's just no way to go. I'm telling you that there are people in the jaws in this place. And here's what Satan said. You big hypocrite, you should never showed up here. You got your porn issue. You're already in the porn. It's sitting there gripping you right now. It's squeezing you right now. And Satan's going, you big hypocrite. No, 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 no. This is where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be here with us in this house, in this place. You are supposed to be here with us. I'm not talking about you're being tempted. I'm not talking to people you're being tempted, because all of us get tempted. There are some of you that the teeth of temptation has already gotten you. You've already started the conversation with that lady at your workplace. You're already discussing that with that man who's not your husband. It is already there. And the enemy would tell you on this journey as you're going up, you're a hypocrite, you're a phony, don't ever come to church, and that's why people don't, no. You are supposed to be with us. Nobody knows about your private addiction. You got to have a pill to get you up in the morning, ma'am. You got to have a pill to go to sleep at night, sir. No one knows it. You would not call yourself a drug addict, but you got a prescription that you go from one doctor to the next doctor, the next doctor, the next doctor, and Satan's got you in so much condemnation, you lift your hands in the service. But I'm telling you, you're supposed to be here, because this is talking about people that are in the middle of it. Some of you are in the temptation. You're beyond the temptation. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're sleeping with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You're in it right now. Somebody say amen, for I think everybody's under conviction. I'm serious, folks. I'm telling you, condemnation is a powerful thing. The snare of the enemy is if you're in, you got to understand, this snare, this trap, you're in it, and it is to destroy you. Do not second guess your enemy. That feeling of offense, that anger you have as a believer, I'm telling you, you're in the jaws of the anger. You can't even sit through a service without getting mad. I'm speaking to someone in this church. You can't even sit through a service without getting mad about something in the service. You're in it. Well, guess where you're supposed to be? Don't take off. Stay in here and let God heal you. Go ahead and clap like I think it's not you, okay? Come on, clap like, yeah, no, I'm kidding. Look at the disciple Peter. Listen, I get the disciple Peter now. I get him a whole lot better. I understand him just a little bit better. That's the reason why he in 1 Peter 5:8, he would say this. He said, stay alert, Ralph Kogel, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But here's verse 9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Now, why would he say this? Because this guy knows it, like, not to flee it, not to be delivered from it, but to be in it. Because he remembers at the Last Supper he's with Jesus, and Jesus prophesies that he's fixing to be executed. And the disciple Peter says, no, not me, man. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to go all the way to prison. I'm going to die with you, Jesus. And Jesus says this to him in Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, let me tell you, Satan has asked to sift each of you as wheat. I'm telling you, every one of you disciples are on this journey, and I'm telling you, he's sitting like a robber, like I told the parable, ready to devour every one of you. And some of you have not escaped him. You weren't set free from him and avoided him. You are in his clutches. And Simon Peter said, not me, not me, not me. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. And he denied him. He said, Peter, you are going to feel the bite. But look what he said to him in verse 32. He said, oh, this is good. But Simon, here's the good news. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, you go strengthen your brothers. He's saying, your faith, you stuck with it. You didn't abandon. You didn't get off the road. You just kept on walking. and kept on walking with teeth marked all over you. You kept on walking. And he says, here's the deal. I'm going to set you so free that you're going to repent. You're going to be freed from the offense. You're going to be freed from the addiction. You're going to be liberated from that very thing, that here's what's going to happen. The devil's going to wish he never touched you, because now you are telling your story to another brother and he's getting free. You're telling your story to another sister and she's getting free. Come on, church. How many thank God we could be delivered from the snare? Oh, look at this. Let's go to Psalm 126, verse 6. Look at this. Oh, I love this. No, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 first. I like that one. He says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, watch this, will also make a way of what, everybody? Escape. Didn't the psalmist just say that? He'd make a way of escape? That you may be able to bear it. Sometimes the teeth marker on you, feel the pressure coming in you. You're going through the addiction. You want to get off the road. And he says, you can feel the bite. But he said, I'll give you the ability to bear it. Watch this. Why? Because who's on your side? God is on your side. Look at verse 24. Look at Psalm 124. And then he says, praise. Oh, I like this one. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Now look, he said, some of you are on the road, and he says, I'm not only give you the power to bear it, but when I'm doing what I want to do in your life, and I've used the enemy for my purposes, he said, let me tell you what I'm going to do with that snare that once had you. I'm going to break the thing that once held you in its teeth. Look, folks, God is not just interested in you just being delivered. He wants to destroy the weapon that was used against you. He is not just interested in you being bearing what's going on. He's interested in you breaking and destroying the very thing that once held you. So you start lifting up your hand. Come on, my brother. If you're in the addiction of pornography, I'm going to tell you, you need to remember, the Lord is on your side. And I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's not only going to bring you through it, but he's going to destroy that addiction, that it never comes back to hold your mind ever again. My sister, bound by cancer in this room, let me tell you, he's not only going to get you through the chemotherapy, he's not only going to encourage you in the middle of it, but when he's all done, he's going to break the back of cancer, never to be visited upon you or your family ever again. I'm telling you today that the Spirit of God says, I will destroy the yoke of bondage that's on you. Woo! Are you hearing this today, everybody? Man, I feel like I got to say this. My mama told me a story 3 weeks ago about my daddy. And y'all know my story of my dad. Those of you not new here, you got to get the book Tangled Destinies. I think it's somewhere around this place. My dad's whole family was killed in the Nazi Holocaust. My daddy saw the bullet hole bloody clothes of his dad, who was put in a concentration camp. My dad watched his mother blown up to pieces in front of his eyes on the Rhine River. He was 15 years old, and all he found of his mother was a lock of hair attached to a piece of skull. My daddy was the most angry man before he found Jesus. I'm telling you, it had his clutches on him, so much so that when my mom got saved in a Billy Graham crusade, she invited him to church. The pastor started talking about the Lord, and my dad took the Bible out of the preacher's hand and threw it across the lobby of the church, saying, your God is a liar. My dad was a Dutch soldier. My dad trained in guerrilla warfare. His whole job was interrogation. And it takes someone hardened to almost do that. When he got saved good. All that poison because of all that pain, blaming God. And the Lord said, listen, Hank, I'm not going to give you the power to bear. I'm going to break that curse of being angry and mad at people and offended at little things. I'm going to break that curse off of you. God is interested in breaking the curse, folks. The curses of poverty, everything. He wants to break it off. The suicide law, he wants to break it off. Destroy that thing in front of your face. I'm telling you, he says, I'm not just going to let you bear, I'm going to break it. My dad started serving the Lord. Something happened to the church. He was a Sunday school teacher, and they did something that highly offended my dad. He wouldn't even let my mother know. And so every time after the Sunday school, when Sunday school class was supposed to start, he would go hide in the church stairwell because he didn't want my mom getting mad, because my dad had already settled. But he didn't want her getting offended at folk in the church. When she found out, didn't help much. She said, "You need to go." Remember, this is a man that hated God and would go off in flights of rage over the littlest things. Some of you are going off of flights of rage and you think the problem is the problem, but the problem's not the problem. There's a deeper issue, like my dad. And when God broke that curse off my dad, he looked at my mother and she said, this is what he said. He said, "You foolish woman." He said, "You foolish woman." He said, "Do you actually think they're doing that to me? God's my father. They take that up with God. That's God. I'm fine." He said, "I'm fine. It's God." Let me tell you something. It doesn't make any difference whether it's an illness. It doesn't make care if it's mental illness. It doesn't make if it's cancer. It doesn't make a difference of pornography. It doesn't make care if it's a spirit of suicide or it's a spirit of breakups in your marriage or your family. I'm telling you, the God that is inside of you is so powerful that he will not only give you the power to bear what you're being clutched in by the teeth of the enemy, but he says, "I will break his jaws. I will rip them wide open. I will tear it. I will destroy it off of your life." And you say, "Pastor, you seem a little militant." You better believe I'm militant about this, because I'm tired of the devil messing with you. And you say, "Well, what's the deliverance?" Can I tell you, there's a song of deliverance that the servant starts saying. Look at verse 6. Ready? Watch this. "Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like the bird out of the fowler's snare, and the snare has been broken, and we have escaped." Twice he says, "We've escaped, we have escaped." God's trying to tell you over and over, "You're going to get out of this, you're going to get out of this, you're going to get out of this." Why? Because God is on my side. Now notice something. Before escape happens, the Bible says the psalmist is singing before the escape occurs. What does that mean? That means praise came before the deliverance. And part of the breaking is the song. Remember, these are songs they're singing, not scriptures just reading. They're singing this song. They're singing this song. And he says, "Praise be to the Lord." He's singing this song. And while he's singing the song, God not only gives him power to bear, but he breaks in the middle of the song and the worship. Now I get why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Not for it, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now I get why the psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 1, "I will praise the Lord when?" When, everybody? "At all times, I will constantly speak of his praise." Now I get it. Because my song and my praise to him is a part of my freedom and my deliverance and breaking the teeth of the enemy. No wonder the devil gets more churches fighting and splitting up, people taking off because they don't like a song. No, I'm serious. There are Christians dying all over the world for the faith, and we have a problem because something in our style. Ooh, we're deep. Boy, we're solid Christians, aren't we? Boy, aren't we solid. Wow, aren't we mature. The devil's not a dummy. The psalmist knows that part of my deliverance is my song. And so what the enemy is, he's gotten so many church folk bent up over songs that they're losing their deliverance. They're losing their joy. Can you hear the devil laughing? See, because it's while you're in the clutches that you got to start singing. Paul and Silas, here they are preaching the gospel, setting people free, and unbelievers get mad. And what do? They beat them, and then they throw them in jail. You're doing everything right. You're tithing, you're going to church, and you're still getting beat up and locked in a prison. They're in a physical prison, locked up in that prison. Now, I don't know about you, but when I preach and I pray for people, I don't like to be beat up and spit on and thrown into jail. I kind of like to have an offering after that. It's kind of, you know, a little offering. But these guys are doing everything right. Some of you said, well, I've done everything right. I've been faithful. Well, listen to this. In the prison, the Bible says something starts happening. They decide we're going to sing in the middle of this. It's not going our way, but we're going to sing. And they take the chains, and they said, let's make them tambourines. Some of you lost your singing. Some of you lost your song. I'm telling you, the devil's smart. The devil's smart. He knows that song is a song of deliverance, and that's why he's done this. White church, come on. I'm going to say it again. What do you think? The first murder happened in a church service. Cain killed Abel because over the worship. He does it every single time today, folks. I'm telling you, if the substance is Jesus Christ and him crucified, sing your song, because here's what can happen when you sing a song. Acts 16 says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. There are people in bondage listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. Watch this. All the doors, and the snare of the fowler immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner started falling off in the midst of the praise. Do you hear this? Part of your deliverance is your song, and he's robbing your song. He's stealing your joy. I'm telling you, I've been with God over this sermon. I know what I'm talking. I've been with God over this sermon. And there's some of you right now in addictions and in problems. And let me tell you, you need to know that you are welcomed here. You're supposed to be here. Some of you are so dysfunctional, but this is where you're supposed to be, because those jaws that are on you are going to be broken and you're going to be liberated today. It is your song. Why do you think in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat is surrounded by the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Midianites, and he says, God, we don't know what to do, but God says, get out there and sing. And the weapons intended to kill them were turned back on an enemy, and he's wiped out with its own weapon. Why do you think in Daniel chapter 2, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into a fiery furnace that's seven times hotter, but in the middle of the fire, you begin to see them worshiping, and in the center, it's another man, and it's the Son of God in the middle of the fire with them. Why do you think that in the middle of all of your pain and your problems, God's got you praising? It's because of his power. In the middle of it, you can be in a tomb. You can be all wrapped up, and your body can stink. But all it takes is for the Father to say, Lazarus, come on out of there. And I don't care how bound you are. I don't care how big the trap. God can break the jaw of your enemy and liberate you in the middle of your praise today. Liberate you. Say, Pastor, you're pretty serious. You better believe it. You better believe I am. I have been with God over you last night. I have been with Jesus. I have prayed in the Holy Spirit. And he says, it's time. Some of you say, no more, devil. You thought you were going to have me? You thought you were going to keep me in your grip? But here's a word for him. Psalm 3:7. We're going to give him the word. Arise, O Lord. Rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. And shatter the teeth of the wicked. Your enemy Satan is the one behind all this. Say, God, rise up. Mock him and slap him in the face and then shatter his teeth. Folks, let me tell you, Satan thought he had Jesus at the cross and the grip was on him, and he said, it's all done. But little did he realize that's exactly what Jesus needed. And what Jesus did, said, pal, I'm going to pluck every tooth out of your head by the power of my blood. And so can I tell you, the great one, Jesus Christ, lives inside of you. And if the great one, Jesus, lives in you, and he put every tooth out of the devil's head, all Satan can do is gum you to death. That's all he can do. How many of you thank the Lord Jesus Christ that his anointing is in this room to destroy every yoke of bondage and set you free? I want Pastor Drew to sing that song. It's going to mean something. Come on, everybody, let's stand together. Some of you are in the middle of the clutches of this thing, but I'm here to tell you again, the Lord is on your side. Come on, everybody, let's say it. The Lord is on my side. I want that section over there to say it. Come on, say it. Say it. Let me hear you. The. Oh, I like that. Come on, this section over here, right up this gallery, clip that. Come on, say it. The. Come on, this whole section right here, come on. In the balcony from that section to that section. Come on, let me hear you say it. The. Yeah, that's good. Come on, over here, everybody. The. Now one more time to split the ears of the devil and let him know exactly where you stand. Come on, everybody. The Lord.